This is Boss Level, a podcast on awesome people and awesome organizations doing the right things. While I was visiting the Fast Feedback Conference in Stockholm, I had the chance to talk to Niklas Modig, the author of the book This is Lean, which is probably my favorite book on Lean. Niklas is the Justin Timberlake of Lean. Seriously, there's a striking resemblance. Check out the show notes for a link to a picture with both of them in it. We had a great chat at the Spotify Stockholm office where Cliff Hazel kindly found a meeting room for us to do the interview in. So thank you, Cliff and Spotify. This episode is a neat package of insights on Lean. Here's a few questions you should be able to answer after this episode if you listen close. What is Lean? What is resource efficiency? What is flow efficiency? Why is flow important? And how can we increase flow? And even if you already know the answer to those questions, there's plenty of great examples and bits of wisdom to learn from. So here we go. I hope you enjoyed the episode. So can you actually tell a little about your background? Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I would say that my primary position is that I'm a researcher at Stockholm School of Economics in Sweden, and I've been there since 2004.
Yeah.
So I'm affiliated with a research center called Center for Innovation and Operations Management.
Okay.
So my main research topic is operations or operation strategy. But I would say that my main thing I do, what I also do is that I spend a lot of time outside of university. Mm-hmm. One of my biggest ideas about research is that I want to engage with companies. So when I started to research, I set up for myself that I really want to see companies at least two times a week. So I think I spend maybe between 50 and 70% outside of university, working with companies in different ways.
So you actually want to apply the stuff that you teach and study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So it's not traditional research. I mean, I would say I work with action research or clinical research. I mean, clinical research comes from, healthcare. So where you have a patient and you follow a patient. And that's also used within our field of research. I mean, we have not a patient, we follow a company.
Yeah.
And in order to understand how to develop interesting knowledge or any kind that could be used within the company, you have to follow them. So that's what I do.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're fairly well known for writing the book, This is Lean. And how is that related to your work at the university?
Well, my main research was done in Japan. When I got into my PhD studies, I had a research interest that I wanted to write about how to apply lean within the service industry. But at that time, that was 2004, we didn't have any lean service companies in Sweden. So by coincidence, on conference, I met Professor Takahiro Fujimoto, who is a professor at University of Tokyo. And I would say that he's the leading authority in the world when it comes to research regarding the Toyota production system.
Okay.
So I met him and I told him about my research interests. And then he invited me to research together with him at University of Tokyo. So I got a scholarship to research in Japan between 2006 and 2008. Where I got the opportunity to get into a research project where we focused on the general applicability of the Toyota production system within the service industry. That was the name. After a short pre-study in Japan, I came to study one of the most developed or the most developed car dealership in Japan. Toyota, there are 5,000 car dealerships in Japan.
Yeah.
Selling Toyota cars. And one of them they have developed as the role model shop. And I spent many, many hours, almost 2,000 hours within that particular shop.
Okay.
So that was my main research, doing a qualitative study of one particular unique case. And when I came back to Sweden in 2008. I started to lecture about it and write about it and think about it. And This Is Lean, the book, actually came up as an idea. First of all, it was some people from the Swedish government who approached us and said, there are a lot of companies and organizations implementing Lean now, but we really don't understand what it's all about.
Yeah.
Would it be possible for you to write an easy-to-understand book, short, with an academic touch? And then I talked with my professor and said, well, let's do it. So, and this was in the middle of the summer, and we didn't have any time. So, we wrote it, the first version, extremely fast. I think we wrote it in a couple of weeks. So during 2 weeks during the summer, then we worked with an editor, and then we published it. So it was just a spontaneous idea.
Wow! Well, I think you pretty much nailed it. I mean, it's a short book, but it basically has all the necessary things that you can, like. It's a really good introduction to Lean.
Yeah, but I mean, even if we wrote it fast, I think the book was a result of after maybe 400 lectures talking about it. So we knew what are people interested in, and we tried to capture that in a short book. And my professor, he's one of the pioneers within the Lean community in the academic world. So he is extremely knowledgeable. So we tried to merge what is interesting when it comes to Lean.
Yeah. So actually, could you just like give a brief definition? What is Lean for the people listening who don't know what Lean is?
Absolutely. It's an interesting question. I mean, that has been my main research question. Yeah. What is Lean? Because Lean was conceptualized a little bit more. I mean, I think it was in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And simply speaking, one can say that the reason why Lean is interesting was because they made a big study of all the car manufacturers in a large international research program where they compared the productivity of all car manufacturers. And they found out that Toyota was much more productive than all the other car manufacturers. And they were doing things that was not in line with the current research regarding how to manage operations.
Mm-hmm.
So then they went into Toyota and they conceptualized their way of working. So I would say that Lean as a concept is a kind of a codification about how Toyota was managing their manufacturing of their cars. But after that, Lean has become the way to think about manufacturing, and also nowadays it's also the way manage operations. And then one can question, well, what is it all about? Well, I would say that a Lean way of thinking, I mean, given my view, because this is the whole point, that there are so many people who has an interest in trying to define Lean. As myself, and I don't have the authority to define it. It's just given my research from my research at Toyota. But still, I mean, it is the most spread management concept of all time. And what happens with when something becomes popular, everyone tries to say what is it all about. Put simply, I would say that Lean is an operation strategy. First of all, then I think it's important to understand what is an operation strategy. We have a corporate strategy, and a corporate strategy is to define, well, what do we want to do?
Yep.
For instance, we want to be in the hotel business. Okay, that's the corporate strategy. Then we have a business strategy, and that is, what kind of hotel do we want to be? Well, is it a 5-star hotel? Is it a design hotel? Is it a budget hotel? Is it an airport hotel? I mean, there are different types of hotel. So that's the what type of hotel. Then we have the operation strategy, and that is very much about, well, given that we are an airport hotel, what kind of decisions do we have to make in order to be able to do that? I mean, that's more about the how question. We need strategies for handling the how of our operations, and that's what an operation strategy is. So given that you know that Lean is an operation strategy, then I think it's important that Lean is one type of operation strategy. So going back to the hotel example, think about if you have a reception and we are focusing on the check-in process. And we have customers coming in, and we have people working in the reception. And we have a situation where we want to improve the checking process. Then we can take two different perspectives, I would say. One perspective is to improve the checking operations from a resource perspective. And that would be, we look at the personnel working there. And one way to improve would be, well, for instance, we are always three people working in the reception and we are not utilizing their capabilities. There's always somebody who doesn't have anything to do. So one way to improve then would be, well, let's have two persons working in the reception. Then we can utilize them a little bit better. That would mean that we are raising the capacity utilization of the people working in the reception. That would mean that we could do it a little bit more cost efficient, since it's about economies of scale. That's one perspective. Another perspective would be, well, we have a problem here because there are customers waiting all the time when they are checking into our hotel. And the problem is that we're facing under capacity. We're only having two people. Maybe we should sometime have four people so we can improve the flow of the customer. And that's the other type of perspective, that you're focusing on the customer flow and our capability, how to fulfill the need of the customer. And here is a very, I mean, this is a hotel example, but I think we can generalize from this. Whose time is the most valuable, valuable one? Is the time for the personnel the most valuable one? Then we try to increase the utilization of these people. Or is the time of the customer the most valuable one? Then we shall not maximize the utilization of the personnel working there. Then we should secure that they always have capacity. So here we have two different perspectives in how to improve our companies. And the lean perspective is to take the customer perspective, I mean the needs perspective. How can we fulfill the need of a customer?
And I think the traditional counter argument to that is that, well, will that not increase our costs? That the, if we don't have our like resource utilizations at the highest level, that that means that we're paying people for just sitting there and not doing anything.
Exactly. That's the most common response to when I describe this flow thinking, because we say, well, having four people instead of two, that will cost a lot. And isn't it better to make the customer wait a little bit? Then we can be more cost efficient. But that's because we are only focusing on this particular little situation. And in this for reception example, then maybe, yes, it might be more expensive. But if we take a system perspective, meaning if we look at the company as a whole, if we are maximizing capacity utilization of all our employees or all our resources, what will happen then is that, well, if we have KPIs or we are measuring capacity utilization or we are measuring cost related to a specific functions, then yes, it might look good. But what happens if everyone is busy or everyone is utilized, then if we get one extra order or one extra customer, they will have to wait. And if they have to wait, then many customers will have to wait. So we will, instead of if we have a good flow, for instance, going back to the reception example, if we have a good flow, everyone gets checked in. Maybe there's just one or two people waiting for the checking process. But if there's long waiting waiting line or a queue, then maybe we could have 10 or 20 customers waiting. Then what happens then when customers have to wait, which is the direct effect of a high utilization, then there will be many customers waiting. And the longer the waiting time, then there's a possibility that the customer will develop new needs that are not really related to the primary need. In this example, the checking process. So if it's a person who have paid a lot for this room and they're waiting there and they've been waiting for 15 minutes, they get angry and they said, I don't want to stay here. This is a shitty hotel. They leave and they say, well, I never want to stay there. And that's a new secondary need that is developed due to the fact that the company didn't have the capability to fulfill the primary need in a good way. So new needs occur. Due to the if we have bad processes, and that has a very high cost. But if you have if you are measuring the cost only in the reception, then you don't see that, well, there's a lot of customers who never will utilize this hotel, and they are talking about our hotel, and they want to have an extra night, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they want to be compensated because they feel that...
Yeah.
So what I want to conclude here is that if we only are looking into a small fraction of an operations, yes, it might look much more expensive, but it's not. And that's what we actually, we call this the efficiency paradox.
Yeah.
Which is, if we think that we are efficient when we are busy, meaning we are overutilizing our resources, then we will be busy. But the problem is that organization will be a self-generating unit of problems.
Yeah,
so we will be busy with things that are not related to the customer.
So I guess we're going back to the classical, like, efficiency versus effectiveness discussion. Yeah, basically exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and I would say that focusing on flow and the customer helps us to become effective.
Yeah.
If we are over-focusing on utilization, then we might be efficient in terms of utilizing this particular resource, but what happens then is that we become ineffective because we're not focused. We tend to not focus on the end customer need.
Yeah.
We're focusing on just keeping ourselves busy.
Yeah, and I think you also touched on the interesting topic of, like, value demand versus failure demand, of like that customers come in and they have a need that they want fulfilled. And if they get that fulfilled, then that's value demand, that they actually, like, they go out and they were satisfied with the service that they received. But if we don't get it done, or we don't do it properly, or that we leave something out, then it becomes failure demand, where we actually generate demand for ourselves because we failed to do what the customer actually wanted done. And it's actually, I think there's a lot of, like, research already into this, that in phone centers and like call centers, the amount of failure demand that comes into a call center can be as high as 80%. That's crazy. And if you, like, if you just add resources to that, like bring in new people to handle that amount of demand, that's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to help at all.
Exactly. Failure demand is, I think it's John Seddon, who set up that concept, and he's into systems thinking. So we call it superfluous demand, which is the same thing, which is, I mean, a need that occurs just because the primary need was not fulfilled.
Yep.
And that's the problem. All these, if we call it failure demand or superfluous work that we have to do in order to take care of that failure demand, I mean, it's almost impossible to develop a way to measure that. I mean, think about it. I was upset in the checking process of the hotel, and I told my girlfriend that I think this is shit, which led to the fact that her company canceled their booking of that hotel in 3 months. No one can really measure that.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so difficult to prove that flow efficiency is better. But if we understand that if we want to improve our company, we should always first prioritize our processes and our capability to fulfill the need of the customers instead of just utilizing resources. Because we can show with research now that if we are increasing capacity utilization, that's the worst type of situation a company can be in, because it becomes sub-optimized, and then the organization in itself becomes an engine of problem. And as you say, think about it, 80%.
Yeah.
We are super busy, but we're not delivering any value.
So actually, you mentioned that you've been focusing on the service, like lean applied to services. And you also said that the background or the history for lean is in the Toyota production system. So can you talk a little about the differences that you see between like when lean is applied in manufacturing and when it's applied to services?
Absolutely. I mean, one thing with research is that we talk about lean manufacturing and lean service and lean R&D and lean retail and so on and so forth. And my whole drive within my research has been that I think it's wrong to say lean service or lean manufacturing. Lean was conceptualized within lean manufacturing, and as a result of that was that now we know about lean is about flow. What happened when they conceptualized lean was the fact that they conceptualized lean by looking into what do Toyota do and what do they have? What type of resources? I mean, in terms of, they went into the Toyota factories and they say, what kind of tools are they using and what kind of methods are they using?
Mm-hmm.
And that's their, the tools and the methods used within manufacturing in order to realize flow. But still, the intention is to develop flow. How do you do it? Well, we need particular routines and methods and tools and so on.
Yeah.
So the problem is that when lean was spread, we did not really understand the flow thinking in contrast to resource efficiency thinking. Instead, we said, let's do what Toyota do and let's have what Toyota have. So they took the tools and the methods from Toyota and they said, well, they are having a great product. They are being much more productive than other companies. So if we do what they do and have what they have, maybe we will increase it as well. But they didn't mm-hmm. really understand the flow the flow part.
Yeah.
So what happens then is that we would take tools and methods from manufacturing and try to apply it in service. And that's where we have the problem. I mean, we're focusing on the way to realize. If we instead have had in the first conceptualization of lean, would have said, well, they are working with the flow in their processes. They are trying to optimize from, I mean, that's what they said. The only thing we focus on is from the point we get an order until it's fulfilled and we have gotten the cash. That's the only thing we focus on.
Yep.
If we focus, and that's the flow, I mean, yep. the flow of fulfilling the need. If we focus on that, then it's no difference between service and manufacturing. I mean, that is applicable yeah. within service, that's applicable true. Within yeah. R&D and so on. But of course, we need different tools and methods how to realize that.
Yes.
And we need different tools and methods in every type of context. I mean, we have differences in manufacturing and service, but we can have difference between Japanese and Swedish companies. We can have difference in experienced people and non-experienced people. I mean, there are differences everywhere. So what I think is important is to, if we can understand the intention of flow and the concept mm-hmm. of flow, yeah. then it's more important to let the people working in the company to develop, well, how shall we do it? And if they cannot see that solution, then they can get inspired by other companies and say, ah, they're using that type of tools and methods, but it's mm-hmm. it's really important to keep focus on it's about improving flow. It's not about maximizing the number of whiteboards we have or maximizing the number of value flow analysis we have done or maximizing, yeah. well, now we have morning meeting. That's what they do at Toyota. Yeah. As long as we have morning meeting, then we'll become productive. That's where we make the mistake with that. Yeah. We're over-focusing on the concrete part. So from my perspective, there ain't any difference at all. It's about fulfilling needs, but fulfilling a need with a product, mm-hmm. fulfilling a need with a service, or fulfilling a need with an innovation, of course, we have to do that in different ways.
Yeah, so one way of saying that, I guess, would be that at a fairly high abstraction level, when we're all only talking about the, like, from customer need to actually, like, cash, at that level, there's no difference at all between, like, manufacturing and services. But then when we go, like, lower down into the, like, more concrete things, then differences emerge.
Since the nature of the need is so different. I mean, yep. within manufacturing, we have product development and process development, and then we have production. I mean, if we go in, for instance, in software development, I mean, we have a need, for instance, to develop a new feature. Mm-hmm. But we don't know really what kind of feature that we need to develop. We just know that the current way of doing it doesn't work. So there we have a very complex need in terms of we really don't know what kind of product that we are or concept that we're actually trying to invent.
Yeah.
So the nature of the need in the innovation process is much more complex. We don't know what the right thing is. We don't know what the right way to do it is.
Yeah.
So then flow might rather be instead of small iterations about testing hypotheses about what is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
The nature of the need is different when it comes to manufacturing and innovation and in service. We have a person flowing through a product, then we can optimize the flow yeah. of a product. But if we have a human being, then yeah. of course we need to improve the experience as well and think about the experience part. So,
that's really, really great. How about, like, how do you see lean? How is it connected to systems thinking in your perspective?
mean, I'm not an expert in systems thinking, and if you understand that, read John Seddon's book, books. But I mean, systems thinking, from my perspective, is to take, instead of taking a sub-optimized perspective of a company or organization, you take a systems perspective, which means that you're trying to see the big picture. You can see the whole value chain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if you take that perspective, you can come with similar conclusions as if you take a flow perspective. Because a flow perspective, which is the lean way of thinking, I mean, that is about, well, when does the need occur and when is the need fulfilled? A result is that, well, we have to take a system perspective if we really want to understand the value chain. For instance, if we want to look into breast cancer.
Yeah.
Well, here there's a woman, she thinks that she might have breast cancer. Here we have a need of making a breast cancer diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
When, if we want to take a system perspective of that, well, here, then we have to look into the process from that particular need occurred until that particular need is fulfilled, meaning that we have made a breast cancer diagnose. So that's the flow. But still, we can also take a needs perspective in terms of, well, if she has cancer, how can we treat the cancer? Then we don't only focus on the diagnosis process. Then we have to focus on the whole treatment process and try to get rid of the cancer process.
Yeah.
So then we have a new type of need, and that's the system perspective. I mean, we can take a system perspective of the actual diagnosis process, but we can also take a system perspective of the whole treatment process.
Yeah.
So lean comes from need focus. System thinking comes with, well, what is the unit of analysis? So from my perspective, the unit of analysis is the same. I mean, you take a system perspective in lean, but there are some differences, I would say, when it comes to the way we do it. I mean, lean is not only about systems perspective. I mean, there's a lot of understanding about how to work with progress control and visualization and develop a conscious organization. And to be honest with you, I don't know how people coming from the systems perspective, how they do it. But from my perspective, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and it just reminds me of all these, like, discussions on whether you're doing agile right or whether you're doing lean right or whatever. And of course, the only way of actually like answering that question is basically like, are you fulfilling the needs of your customers better? And that's basically the only thing that's necessary. Like there's you can't say that because you're doing this thing or because you're not doing this thing, this like method or this process or this, or you're not using this tool, that's not, you can't say based on that you're not doing lean or that you are doing lean.
No, it's like, okay, I want to lose weight. Either I have to move more or eat less.
Yeah.
Some people, the eat less strategy is better. Some people, they love to eat, but then the move more strategy is better. And there's nothing right or wrong. It's just like whatever works for you.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing within healthcare now. They've been working with lean, but now value-based healthcare is coming up from Michael Port from Harvard. Yeah. Hallelujah. Lean is shit. Now we have value-based healthcare instead. But it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we need a Harvard concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lean is about Toyota and it's about Japan. It doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But now value-based healthcare. I can promise you, wait 2 years, because value-based healthcare has some particular things that is a little bit different from lean. They talk a lot about that one should work with benchmarking and add competition. I can assure you, in 2 years within healthcare, there is a value-based healthcare because it doesn't really work. We shouldn't let in competition into the public sector, you know.
Yeah.
And then they will start to say that that's the shit. We can't work with that, and then we want a new concept.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember 1 year ago, I was trying to use this 5-2 method. And 5-2 method, it's put simply, it's like you eat in a regular way 5 days a week and you eat almost nothing
for two days. Yeah.
And I try that, and first 3 weeks, great. But then fourth week, I started to not really follow because there were some parties and there were a lot of different things. And then I failed to use the 5-2 method. And after 6-7 weeks, my friend asked, how was the 5-2 method? I said, no, it doesn't really work for me. It's shit. And it's so easy to say that 5-2 method is shit. But the only thing is shit is my own discipline about not eating shitty things.
Yeah.
So and that's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Lean, mm-hmm. going from, I mean, companies now are sub-optimized. We are over-focusing on resource utilization. That mm-hmm. means that companies today are almost organized as different islands. Mm-hmm. We have different islands with different kings and queens, and we cannot really see the big picture. And then we say lean, and then we try to develop flow.
Mm-hmm.
But going from independent islands and try to integrate them into a system where everyone is dependent on each other. I mean, what we do here is we take independent islands and develop that into a dependent whole where everyone mm-hmm. has to work together. I mean, that's super difficult. It's like yeah. moving in with your girlfriend. It's like landing a spaceship. It's difficult to go from two independent units to one dependent unit.
Yeah.
And that's with a person who you're in love with. Then you're fairly motivated.
Yeah.
But if it's a company then saying, we know that flow is much better, we should integrate all these independent units into one dependent unit instead. That's super difficult. And many, many companies fail to just do that integration.
Yeah.
And then when they fail, it's so simple to say, well, lean is shit. It doesn't really work for me. Yeah. But now I have an extra life. It's like playing a game on your computer, and the extra life it's called value-based healthcare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then we can say, now we have a little bit more energy and a little bit more time, and now we're going to make it. But it's all about flow in the processes. It doesn't matter if you call it lean or process orientation or patient orientation or value-based healthcare. It's the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost allergic to all these concepts now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, how can we develop a flow-oriented company? Stay with a base operations management concept, because then you cannot hide. Then you can say, well, it's quite difficult. We have to try one more time. Then you cannot say lean is shit, or 5-2 method is shit, or Atkins method is shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big problem coming up with all these different concepts. So my base recommendation, try to get rid of all the fancy words and just talk about basic operations management. And that is about how can we develop efficient processes?
Yeah, well, that's really good. I also love how you compared moving in with your girlfriend as like the same thing as landing a spaceship.
No, but I mean, it's just a metaphor. I mean, we know that when we are integrating units, we have to develop new ways of doing things, new routines.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think about what is good for her, what is good for me, how can we understand each other.
Yep.
It's a lot about communication. And usually it's very simple if we just talk about it, but we know that we have to adapt.
Yeah.
And in a relationship, we want to do that. But if we have had an organization where we have been living as singles and someone else says, now you're going to get married, then it's quite difficult, because we really don't go. We think, well, I've been living for myself quite a long time here, and I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And now someone else says that you're going to marry all these different other functions, but I don't feel like it. So then it's, of course, difficult.
Yeah.
And I think companies underestimate how difficult that integration process is.
Yeah. So how would you advise companies, like if someone is listening to this and realizing that this is exactly how our company is run, that we've divided into parts and the parts are only focusing on their own work, what would be your advice on like how to move forward? What would be the first steps to like kind of get started on the flow efficiency or focusing on the customer?
First of all, it's extremely important that it's the people working in the processes that are going to change the process. No one else, no external person, no an internal lean expert. I mean, it's the only person who can do it is the one who works with the customer. So that's a base assumption.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is that, well, first of all, we take one particular need. We are focusing on the check-in process at the hotel. Okay, let's take the check-in process. Then what I would do is to gather everyone that works in the check-in process, put them in a room, and say, if we're going to optimize the checking process, how would we do it? And if they don't understand the flow concept, make them understand the flow concept and why, and the efficiency paradox and so on. If they just understand that, say, well, if we were to put up a film camera on the shoulder of our customers and really get in to the close of our customer, what would the optimal process be?
Yeah.
Have them to just describe that process, and then they usually do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so super simple, but very few companies gather everyone, put them inside a room. This is flow, and they understand that and say, well, if you were to develop a perfect flow, how would you do it? And then once they have developed that, well, give me the first three things you want to change, and then just go ahead.
And I think what, like, with my experience in being situations like that, what often comes up is like I've had this idea for years, and I know that this would improve it, but this would improve the flow, but I've never had the chance to actually bring it out and actually talk about this to anyone. Uh-huh. Although I've had this idea for a long time.
Absolutely, and that's the difficulty, because sometimes it's not so simple, or most of the times it's not so simple as a checking process as a hotel.
People
are working in different places, different functions, and at different times, and I mean, that's difficult. So just gather everyone, metaphorically speaking, and put them inside a room and say, we won't open up the door until we have delivered a great process. That's the difficult part. To gather everyone and give them the time and the resources and the energy and the motivation to develop. So my experience is, if you just do that, say, well, now we have to improve that, then it's super simple.
And one thing that I think that we've had a lot of success with is that if the process is more complex and there's a lot more variables, then I think it's really hard to come up with the ideal process by just drawing it on a board and it'll just work. So I think we've gotten really good results by just like trying to do it, trying to figure out the ideal process, but then accepting that we're not probably going to hit it the first time around, and we just need to do some experiments and try it out. And after we like get some empirical data on the things that we did and how they worked, then we'll do it again and try to figure out again, and just like doing also that in iterations. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, that's exactly what happens. I mean, if we have a lot of variation, we have complex needs, meaning, for instance, if we have a patient and we are focusing on need A here now, and if it's difficult, is this really need A? I mean, it's difficult, and we can have problems with that. It's multi-sick patients, so we have need A, B, and C and D in together. So how shall we treat this patient? I mean, we have complex need.
Yes.
If we have that, the only thing we can do is to have an hypothesis about what the right thing to do is, and that is gather everyone, the most experienced people who can tell about what is need A, and then the other professions, so people who has a profession regarding need A, B, and C, and D, gather them. Say, well, here we have a complex patient. Yep. We have an hypothesis about how to fulfill this need. What do we think is the best way to do that? And then we can set up a process about how to take care of this patient. And the most important thing is not to see that this is now we're finished.
Yeah.
Then in order to handle the complexity, then maybe the most important thing is to gather all the different specialists every day or two times a day and say, is the patient improvement? If yes, then we're going on the right track. If no, well, then we're doing something wrong. And then we have to update our way of taking care of this patient. So then flow is about iterating and testing hypotheses about the need. And this is, I mean, going back to the original question, what is the difference between lean and manufacturing or lean and innovation? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is flow in innovation, where we don't know about flow efficiency, where we don't know what is the real need. Maybe the customer doesn't know, maybe we doesn't know, or we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we can do then is to develop flow in the iteration process.
Yeah, just try something out and see what comes out of it. Yeah, that's really good. Thanks a lot for finding the time to have this discussion. I think it was really, really insightful.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I hope you got as much out of it as I did. If you feel like you learned something and want to show some appreciation, feel free to share this episode on social media. For a new podcast such as this one, it's super important. I appreciate your feedback so I can learn from it. You can email me at hello@bosslevelpodcast.com. Talk to you soon.